This podcast is for parents like you, navigating the world of neurodiversity with love and compassion. I'm a neurodivergent mother of three amazing neurodivergent children and a board-certified music therapist. Our mission is to create a supportive space where you feel understood, connected, and inspired. With practical tips, strategies, and resources, we'll help you and your child thrive in your unique way. Join us as we dive deep into the diverse world of neurodivergent individuals, exploring topics like ADHD, autism, dyslexia, sensory processing challenges, and more. We'll cover it all to empower, educate, and uplift both neurodivergent individuals and those who walk alongside them. Together, we'll create a world where every brain is valued and celebrated. We're excited to embark on this enlightening journey with you. We are your hosts, Samantha Foote and Lauren Ross, and this is the Every Brain is Different podcast. Welcome to the Every Brain is Different. It is Lauren and I here with you today. We are going to talk about the difference between meltdowns and tantrums, like a neurodivergent meltdown versus just your run-of-the-mill tantrum, because they are different. So, what is a meltdown? So, a meltdown is an intense response to overwhelming sensory, emotional, or cognitive stimuli. It is when you have reached your max and you can't go on anymore. So a tantrum is just like, hey, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to throw a tantrum. Yeah, it's just a behavior. Yeah. It's a challenging behavior. Like when you're in the store and your kid wants something and they don't get it, then they have a tantrum, you know? And it's what I've been told is that if it's a meltdown and you take away the overwhelming stimuli, the meltdown will stop. But if it's a tantrum, it won't stop until, you know, you give them what they want, or or you just like have other coping mechanisms. But like if someone is having a meltdown because the lights are too bright, they're going to continue having that meltdown until the lights are dimmed.
They're removed
from the situation. Yeah. So, but that's not to say, this is kind of confusing topic, because what looks like a tantrum could be a meltdown. Let's say you go to the store and the lights are bright. There's a lot of noise going on. Your kid has his heart set on something that he wants at the store, and during the day he's already had a bunch of things happen that were not like he was not expecting them to happen at school, let's say that, you know. And so you get to the store, you don't know that he has his heart set on that thing, but the lights are bright, it's loud inside, there's a lot of people are touching him, he feels hot in his coat. And then he goes to that thing and he wants it. And he's already like not emotionally regulated because of all the unexpected things that happen. And then you say no to the thing that he wants. And that just pushes him over the edge and he cannot handle it anymore, you know? And he's so, it just triggers him to have a meltdown because he has been trying to hold it together. Like, he's trying not to let the lights bother him. He's trying not to let the noise bother him. He's trying not to let the heat. He's trying not to let, you know, like everyone touching him bother him. But he's holding it together until that one more disappointment just pushes him over the edge, mm-hmm. you know? And that can be a meltdown, is they just had too much happen and they can't cope with it. And so it can look like a tantrum because you're like, oh, my kid is having a tantrum because he didn't get what he wanted. But in reality, he was doing pretty dang good holding it all together until that one little thing like pushed him over the edge.
Those are what we call in the industry setting events for people that make it so that we might be more easily triggered into a negative behavior later.
Yeah. And I mean, I've done that before. Like, I think I've said my lasagna story on here before about how I lost it when my cousin asked me about why I was cutting the lasagna in too big a pieces, and I completely lost it. And it was not about the lasagna. It was about that, like, I was overwhelmed being around family because when I was around family, I felt like I had to mask all my issues because I didn't want them to tell me like, oh, you're too emotional or oh, you talk too much. And so I was keeping like all that in. I was balling it up. And then like, I'm pretty sure it was that time of the month for me too. And so I just was holding it all in. And then he said that one comment and that just like the dam burst, yes. You know?
You were, I just, in my head came off this analogy, like you were the soda and that question was the Mentos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Came over.
For sure. Yeah. So just realizing that like a lot of, especially what they call high functioning kids and high functioning adults, that just means to me that they are high masking. And so they have a lot of anxiety that they're holding in from masking so much. And so if, you know, you're around someone, you're like, oh, I would never have known that you were neurodivergent. That just means they're excellent at masking. And so they're probably on the verge of a meltdown at any given time. You know?
You don't see them at home, like walk through the door and they just like let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as soon as you walk through the door, like, you get out of the uncomfortable clothes that you're wearing. You turn down the lights. You like turn down, I don't know, just sit in silence for a minute. Or the opposite of like, you finally can talk to your partner that's home or something, you know, and you just like let out all the things that you wanted to say all day long. That's me. That's me. I feel bad for my husband. But I just like, I have to keep it all in because my whole life I've been told I talk too much. And so it's a source of shame for me that I talk too much. And so I will hold it in and not say things. But this is what gets me. People are never satisfied. I either talk too much or I don't talk enough. They're like, why are you so quiet? I'm like, because I'm trying not to talk too much, because if I open my mouth, then everything's going to come out, you know? So
you're never going to win.
I know.
You see how to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Other people's opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's hard because, you know, we care what people think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Just shut that off. So I know that's easier said than done. But
yeah. But that's why meltdowns happen, because we're holding it all in. And then if you don't get that release or the coping skill, like time to use your coping skills, then you're going to have a meltdown. And a lot of times it looks like a tantrum. But we just have to understand that, like, for example, the other day, my son had a meltdown at school at the end of the day. And I was like, why? What happened? Like, why did you do that? And he was like, well, they wouldn't let me hold the door on the way back from music time. And I always hold the door. But apparently there was someone new. And she's like, no, don't hold the door for people. And I'm like, why wouldn't you let him hold the door for people? You know, like, why is that the big deal? And then something else happened at recess where he like got hit in the face with a ball or something. And then something else happened in the classroom. And so then he does not like riding the bus, but he rides the bus to and from school. And so them asking him to get on the bus was just the final straw. And so the teacher calls me and she's like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get him on the bus. You might have to come pick him up. And I was like, well, what was going on? He just won't get on the bus. And I'm like, let's see some other things here. Yeah. Yeah. And so
I don't understand yet if you don't know the reason.
Yeah. And so he got home and he was like, Mom, just thing after thing after thing happened today. And I was not expecting it. And it was just too much. Like, those were his words to me. It was just too much. And he is 8 years old. Like, so to have like that clarity in your life, like he was trying so hard, you know? And he did get on the bus. Like, there wasn't an issue, like, other than they didn't think they were going to get him on the bus, you know? So, but yeah, but that's why everyone is like, oh, they're just throwing a tantrum, where they're really not, you know?
Yeah. It's more involuntary, the tantrum. There's usually an end goal.
Yeah, yeah. So a tantrum, I feel like, is an intentional behavior to get what they want. And the meltdown is completely involuntary, like you just said. Like, they cannot help it. Like, yep. Their brain kind of just switches off, is what I've been told by, like, neurologists and stuff. That your brain just switches off and you have no reasoning and you just do what you need to do to get your needs met.
I think going back, I'm just going to use my analogy with a soda. A meltdown is someone else has put the Mentos in, and a tantrum is they put the Mentos in the bus. Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yes, that is perfect.
The soda and the Mentos today.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I love it. So, so think about, your child's, sensory sensitivities, communication challenges, difficulties with emotional regulation, because if they are having a hard time communicating, they're going to have a meltdown. So, for example, if your kid is non-speaking and they have had a need that they've needed met like all day long and they cannot get anyone to understand what they need, they're going to have a meltdown because that need is not being met and they can't communicate that to anyone.
And something we teach here is communication, or like lack thereof or lack of understanding, is the biggest setting event for most people, children and adults. Is I'm trying to communicate, I can't communicate, I'm not getting my needs met, and thus the explosion of whatever that might be. So
so when they are having a meltdown, the other thing is that, especially with communication, like they've had a need that needs met, they can't communicate that. And so if you just go in there and be all angry that they're having a meltdown, or like, you need to stop crying, or you need to pay, you need to do whatever, that's not helping the situation. Like,
that's just more Mentos.
Yeah, that's just more Mentos being put in. They're just going to get like even wilder. So yes. For example, last night, my son, I have no idea what happened. Oh, I do know what happened. So we went to a church activity and there was a babysitter there to watch the kids while I went to like this women's activity. So I let my kids go in. My kids were the only ones there. And apparently my son needed a drink. He did not communicate that he needed a drink. He just tried to leave the room. And so the babysitter thought that he was just trying to leave the room just to run away, but he was trying to get a drink. And so he had like a full blown meltdown in, like when I went to get him, I just had this feeling. I was like, you need to go check on him, you know? And so I went in and he was having a meltdown and I did not handle this appropriately. I said, "What is your problem? You don't act like this to other people." And then I did tell them before I let them go, like before I let them be in there, I said, "If you guys are fighting, if you're doing this, if you're just misbehaving, you will not have electronics tomorrow, because that is highly motivating for my children, is electronics." Mm-hmm. And so I told them, I'm like, "You're not getting electronics tomorrow." And then he continued to have a meltdown. He continued to just freak out. And I was like, and then he slammed the piano thing shut, the cover, and it hit his sister's hands. And I was like, "You're not getting electronics for a week. Like, I'm so done with this right now." And then we get to the car and he calmed down and he was like, "I just needed a drink. And nobody would let me get a drink. And that's all I needed." And so when he needs a drink, like, I swear he has like some issue. He's been tested for diabetes like 5 times because he's always so thirsty. But then I understood everything that happened, why he had a meltdown, what was going on, why he was still having a meltdown, because he was still thirsty. Like, he still needed that need met. And I was just throwing Mentos in the soda.
Because I was like, with water.
Yeah. Because I was so, and you know what it stemmed from? It stemmed from me being embarrassed that he was acting that way. Instead of being like calm and being like, "I understand what's going on. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Let's talk about it." Like, that would be the way to handle it, is just like calm him down, do deep breathing, do whatever calms your kid down, and then go into, "Okay, help me understand what happened." And so when we were in the car, I was like, "Oh, I understand that's what you're trying to get." I was like, "Well, let's talk about having your electronics back. Because I understand that this was a meltdown. You weren't having a tantrum. So let's talk about that. And then we talked about it and I apologized and we moved on. But really, like, I guess for parents, like, look at your reaction and why you're reacting the way you are to your children's tantrums or meltdowns, especially to their meltdowns. Because for me, it all stemmed from being embarrassed. I didn't want people to see my kids like that. Where I should have been focused on my kid and his needs rather than some 12-year-old that, like, is babysitting. Like, why should I care what she thinks about my kids, you know? And so that's just something that I learned last night. That was a big lesson for me, is like, don't worry about what other people are thinking and just handle your kid. Like, help your kid get their needs met. And then if I would have went in there and been like, hey, what's going on? You know? And I did go in there and I said, hey, what's going on? And he just continually, he's like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I'm like, okay, we're leaving. Like, he just kept throwing the meltdown, you know? But if I would have, like, just left with him or just figured out what he needed, then the piano thing would not have been, you know, thrown down. It wouldn't have, my daughter wouldn't have gotten hurt. And we wouldn't have had the continual meltdown, because then his electronics, which are part of his coping skills, wouldn't have been taken away.
So my question is, and just because I'm curious, is I'm assuming you did, but like, what was, like, what do you think the struggle was behind him? Just, I'm thirsty. Like, I need a drink of water. Because clearly that was it. He wasn't communicating that. So what do you think the struggle was behind that?
I think that he thought that they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't let him get a drink. And so he was just going to get it on his own because he needed a drink right then. And I am not even joking. When this kid needs a drink, he needs it right now or he will have a meltdown, which he did because they wouldn't let him leave. And so, and once he, you know, once you get in that meltdown mode, you're not thinking clearly. He was just thinking, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here. And they weren't letting him out of there because they thought he was just going to run away. Like, I don't blame them.
Yeah, they don't know that he needs a drink.
Yeah. They don't know that he needs a drink. And so the, like, the water fountain was like 20 feet down the hall. And so if he would have just said, hey, I need a drink, they would have let him go get one. But something must have happened that he didn't think that they would respond to him. And so then that's all he thought about was, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
He was like wild trying to get out of that room. Yeah. He went into fight or flight. And that's what's important to remember about meltdowns, is kids go into fight or flight. They have no reasoning skill when they're having a meltdown. They're not going to be able to talk to you. They're not going to be able to do anything until you calm them down. And you don't calm them down by using more words.
Nope. They're not processing language.
Yeah.
Or when they're that far into a meltdown.
Yeah. So just remember, when your kid's having a meltdown, calm them down with coping skills. You know, do they take deep breaths? Do they be by themselves? Do they need a hug? Like, learn what your kid's coping skill is, calm them down, and then talk about what need is being not being met. And if they can't verbalize that, then, you know, you just have to play detective, like Dr. Sikorski said before, be curious, not furious. And I'm going to quote that until the end of time, because I love it. Like, just get curious. Yes. If your kid is continually having meltdowns in the same situations, get curious about what's causing the meltdown. Get curious about why every day when they come home from school, they have a meltdown. Is it because of what happened at school, or is it because they're hungry? Is it because they're thirsty? You know, just get curious about what's going on. Not furious like I did last night.
I think too, as a parent, like, you're not perfect. Like, I mean, we preach this stuff and you still have your moments where you know, you didn't handle it right. And you knew, like, after reflection, the correct way. But, like, give yourself grace. There's a lot of societal pressures. And like you said, shame, like caring about what people think. Like, again, like, this is how we want you to respond. But when you don't, like, give yourself grace, but also have some reflection and things like that.
Yeah. And apologize to your kids. Like, how are they going to learn that you need to apologize if you don't apologize to them when you're in the wrong,
Exactly.
you know?
You have to model that. Have to model it.
Yeah, because that's the only way they're going to learn is if you model it. So I apologize to him. We talked about it. We talked about how you need to just verbalize what you need. And if they don't do it, then other things that you can do, you know? So,
Sounds like your
yeah.
son needs to always just have a water bottle with him.
He
Is it
does.
excluded?
He usually does have a water bottle. Like, he asked for a bigger water bottle because the one I sent with him, he had to refill it too much at school. So he has a 32-ounce water bottle that he takes to school because he had like a 16-ounce one. He's like, Mom, it's not big enough. I have to go to the drinking fountain way too much. I need a bigger one. And I'm like, okay. So,
I'm glad
but
he's
yeah.
drinking so much water.
Oh my gosh, he drinks so
Water's good
much
for you.
water. Yeah, it's true. But and then my other son is a complete opposite where he's just like, water, what's
Yeah.
that?
Doesn't.
So, but yeah, but thank you all for listening to our thoughts today. And just remember the difference between meltdowns and tantrums. Get curious, not furious. And we hope you have a fantastic holiday season. Let us know what you want to hear about. Leave us a review if you want to, whatever. We appreciate them. So, yeah, have a good week.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope the discussion on neurodiversity has provided you with support, understanding, and inspiration. If you found our podcast valuable, please share it with others who may benefit from our insights and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the follow button and let's keep exploring the fascinating world of neurodiversity. Click the link in our show notes to visit our website for a free download of 3 tips for a stronger relationship with your child.